Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1. Chapter entitled The History of the Life of Ajamil, Text 15. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Purport. In the previous verse, Shukadeva Goswami gave the example that the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree may be completely burnt to ashes by a fire, although the creepers may sprout again because the root is still in the ground. Similarly, because the root of sinful desire is not destroyed in the heart of a person who is cultivating knowledge but who has no taste for devotional service, there is a possibility that his sinful desires will reappear. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Shreya Sritim Bhakti Mudasyate Vibho Klishyanti Ye Kevala Bodha Labdhaye. Speculators who undergo great labor to gain a meticulous understanding of the material world by distinguishing between sinful and pious activities, but who are not situated in devotional service, are prone to material activities. Jai Shishunada Gokulananda Bhagavan ki. They may fall down and become implicated in fruitive activities. If one becomes attached to devotional service, however, his desires for material enjoyment are automatically vanquished without separate endeavor. Bhakti Pareshana Bhava Viraktir Anyatra Cha. If one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, material activities, both sinful and pious, automatically become distasteful to him. That is the test of Krishna consciousness. Both pious and impious activities are actually due to ignorance, because a living entity as an internal servant of Krishna has no need to act for his personal sense gratification. Therefore, as soon as one is reclaimed to the platform of devotional service, he relinquishes his attachment for pious and impious activities and is interested only in what will satisfy Krishna. This process of bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, Vasudeva Parayana, relieves one from the reactions of all activities. Such a very long purport. I'll just read till here. So, Hare Krishna. I welcome everyone to this discussion on the glories of the holy name. We are celebrating the World Holy Name Week, and I thought we need regular discussion on the power of the holy name to keep ourselves enthused in this practice. So I am taking this from the 6th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the pastime of Ajamil, and in this the power of the holy name is described. The holy name having the great potency to counteract all previous sinful reactions. So the 10 topics of Bhagavatam are described in the 2nd canto. Atra sarga visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya manvantara ishanukata nirodha mukti rashre. So the first topic is creation, second is sub-creation. Sthanam is different positions which the jiva gets to enjoy different facilities as per his desires. Utaya, sthanam, poshanam. So the fifth canto describes about sthanam, where as per the pious and sinful activities, the soul gets to enjoy different facilities in upper planetary systems and gets punished in lower planetary system. And so, towards the end of the fifth canto, there is a description of all kinds of hell. And that detailed description is extremely horrifying. And Maharaj Parikshit, being a very pious king, When he hears that description, he becomes overwhelmed with great distress. And then he begins the sixth canto by asking this specific question to Shukadeva Goswami, that how can someone who is implicated in sinful life be relieved from that suffering? And because Maharaj Parikshit is a very pious, noble Vaishnav, he is paradukha dukhi. And although in the next few days he is going to be subjected to the deadly bite of Takshaka and is going to die, and normally a conditioned soul is extremely engrossed in thoughts about his own security and benefits, but because Maharaj Parikshit is very exalted, he is totally detached, and he is fully focused on what would happen to all those souls who are going to suffer in hell. And Maharaj Parikshit has been cursed for no particular fault of his, for a very insignificant deviation. He has been subjected to be cursed to die in 7 days and seven nights. When Maharaj Parikshit is born, he is known as Vishnu Rat, one who is protected by Lord Vishnu. Tasmat namna Vishnu Rat iti loke bhavishyati na sandeho mahabhaga mahabhagavato mahan. That in the womb of his mother, Maharaj Parikshit saw Krishna directly, and therefore he is considered to be the most fortunate. Tasmat namna Vishnu Rat, and the name given to Parikshit by the Brahmanas is Vishnu Rat, one who is protected by Lord Vishnu. Na sandeho mahabhaga mahabhagavato, and therefore there is no doubt that he was a very exalted personality. So therefore Krishna, he protected Maharaj Parikshit in the womb of his mother, and he destroyed the Brahmastra, and he allowed Maharaj Parikshit to be born. And naturally, if someone is known as Vishnu Rata, one who is protected by Lord Vishnu, one would imagine that Lord Vishnu would protect him all through. So how is it that at the peak of his youth, Maharaj Parikshit, who is known as Vishnu Rata, one who is protected by Lord Vishnu, is cursed to die in 7 days and seven nights all of a sudden for no fault of his, which appears to be a major injustice? And that is happening to someone who is protected by Lord Vishnu in the womb of his mother. So what's the meaning of this term, Vishnu Rata, one who is protected by Lord Vishnu? So the credibility of Lord Vishnu is in question. That, you know, if someone is protected by Lord Vishnu in the womb of his mother, and now at the peak of his youth he is cursed to die in 7 days and seven nights. And normally when we perceive injustice, the mind becomes extremely agitated and it becomes very difficult to focus. And so here Maharaj Parikshit is cursed to die, and the curse is extraordinarily much more powerful than the deviation which he was causing. So therefore here it is described that Krishna's will changes over a period of time. And so at the time of his birth, Krishna desired that the Brahmastra be destroyed and Maharaj Parikshit be born. And now Krishna's will has changed and Krishna wants Maharaj Parikshit to die and Srimad Bhagavatam to be born. And therefore, Rupa Goswami describes Krishna as Shyamam Tribhanga, one who is standing in threefold bending form. And therefore Krishna is crooked, not straight. And therefore the movement of his will is extremely unpredictable. And therefore the Srimad Bhagavatam is containing the fast flowing river of Krishna's will. And those who try to oppose that will are the demons. Those who completely submerge and do scuba diving underneath the river of that will are the pure devotees. And then there are those of us who are touching the water and checking it, whether it's good enough for a swim or not. And therefore, here we find that in the sixth canto beginning, Maharaj Parikshit, in spite of him being faced with this curse of death, he is not concerned about his distress. He is concerned about all of these souls and is asking, what will happen to them? How can they be relieved from the influence of sinful reactions? And so Shukadeva Goswami, he begins this first section. So in our discussion, we will go through various, you know, main themes of this pastime. So the first theme is that bhakti is the best prayaschitta. Bhakti is the best atonement. And that's how Shukadeva Goswami begins his description. Na tathahi aghavan rajan puyet tapa adivi yatha krishnarpita prana tat purusha nishevaya. And he says that although a person may have committed various kinds of sins, but whatever may be the extent of that sin, yatha krishnarpita prana tat purusha nishevaya. In the Shastra, various kinds of atonements have been given. But whatever may be those atonements, the best atonement is when a person takes shelter of the devotee of Krishna. Tat purusha nishevaya yatha Krishna arpita prana. One who has offered his life at the lotus feet of Krishna, such a Vaishnava, if we approach such a devotee and take shelter of such a devotee, then the process of purification begins. Tat purusha nishevaya. Yesterday morning I was giving a class at Soho and I was remembering one pastime where Deenbandhu Prabhu from Vrindavan, he was taking a yatra to in Vrindavan, and devotees were there for taking Yamuna snan, bathing in the Yamuna. So then as devotees entered inside, then Deenbandhu Prabhu asked the question, what's the difference between Ganga snan and Yamuna snan? Ganga, bathing in the Ganga and bathing in the Yamuna. And like, nobody had the answer. So he said, when you take Ganga snan, you are purified of all papa. And when you take Yamuna snan, you are purified of all papa and punya. And when he said that, few devotees started coming out. Because generally, we go to holy places thinking we'll increase our piety. So here, what Shukadeva Goswami is referring to is that the spiritual piety is beyond the mundane piety. And therefore, sadrichino hi ayam loke panthah kshema akutobhaya sushila sadhavo yatra narayana parayana. Shukadeva Goswami says that the most appropriate path is the path of devotional service. Sadrichino means most appropriate. Panthah, this path is kshemah, very auspicious. Akutobhaya. Akutobhaya means it is free from all fear. It will make us fearless. Sushila sadhavo yatra narayana parayana. And therefore, when we take shelter of Krishna, then such narayana parayana devotees, they become completely fearless. And taking shelter of such devotees begins the journey of purification. And therefore, here, Shukadeva Goswami establishes very strongly that amongst all the types of atonement available, bhakti is the best prayaschitta, and that which begins by taking shelter of a Vaishnava who has taken shelter of Krishna. When Srila Prabhupada, he established Krishna consciousness in the West, so practically, Krishna consciousness was confined mainly to India. And there were so many literatures about bhakti available, but no one could actually access that and create a heart transformation. So when Prabhupada went to the West, because of his personal presence and because devotees could take his shelter, gradually the process of transformation began. And so Prabhupada said that the greatest qualification is you are trying to follow what I am trying to share with all of you. You are simply trying to follow what I am doing. And therefore, here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions to this that yatha krishnarpita prana tat purusha nishevaya. That when one initially connects with the process of Krishna consciousness, one may have all kinds of other habits. But when one comes in association with devotees, the association of devotees acts like a mirror. So the Vaishnava Sangha acts like a mirror, and then in the mirror we see where we are going wrong and how we need to transform. And that association begins the beginning of transformation. Like that. One of Prabhupada's disciples, he was, you know, very young, and he was sticking some stamps on an envelope, and Prabhupada was sitting right there. And as per his old habit, he was using his, you know, saliva, taking the stamp, putting it on the tongue, and sticking it on the envelope. So Prabhupada saw that and said, "Hey, this is muchi. This is unclean. This is not the right standard." So he said, "What should I do?" Prabhupada said, "Take a bowl of water and use that water. That's the right standard. That's the standard of cleanliness as per the Vedic system." So he took the bowl of water and started doing, and Prabhupada went away. And so he kept, you know, doing that for some time, and then all the stamps were practically done. Only one stamp remained, and the water got over in the bowl. And he was thinking now, you know, who is going to get up and get water just for one stamp? Just one stamp is remaining. And I'm already experienced in my previous, you know, habit of what to do. And then he checked around, nobody was there. So he said, "Okay, one last stamp, what difference it makes?" He took that stamp, placed it on his tongue, the door opened and Prabhupada was standing there. And he said, "I told you not to do this." So the habits which we have, they are not going to transform so easily. And therefore, someone asked Prabhupada, "I have books to read and I have devotee association to take. Which is better? If I have a choice that should I associate with a devotee or should I read the book?" So Prabhupada, you know, put his hand under his ears and said, "The books will not do this." That means hold your ears and give a feedback on what should be done and what should not be done. And therefore, Shukadeva Goswami begins the process of transformation by saying that tat purusha nishevaya, taking shelter of the devotees, is the beginning of transformation. And then the habits will change. So then he begins description about a pastime of Ajamil from the ancient scriptures. And then he explains about using the pastime of Ajamil, he explains the law of karma. And in this section, he describes the 8 steps of the law of karma. Right? So one of the most favorite topics of the Bhagavad Gita and controversial topics of discussion is always the law of karma. How does karma impact in this and that? In our Gita course, one time one of our preachers was giving a very fascinating explanation of the law of karma. And one person, you know, was coming, knew, was attending for the first time, 6-session course. He heard it. And after the class, he was like glorifying the speaker, saying, "Oh, wow, amazing, wonderful. I get answers to all my questions. I was always wondering why I'm suffering and I got it." And then the topic was, why do bad things happen to good people? So after the prasadam and everything, after glorifying this preacher and the topic and everything, when he went out, he found that his slippers were missing. Somehow there was a mess up in the, you know, shoe stall, and the shoes got missing. And he got so wild, he started screaming and shouting, "What kind of a temple is this? This is nonsense, bogus, this, that." And then someone said, "Are, law of karma." So he said, "Come on, I don't want you to tell me about that." And then he just could realize that just understanding theoretically and then actually experiencing is a huge difference. So therefore, even though we may understand these concepts, but we will be tested because these laws are extremely stringent. And so the first part of this eight aspect is the crime. Okay. So Ajamil, he's described as someone who's extremely sinful, engaged in all kinds of sinful activities. And then he has a son who is very young, and at the time of death, Ajamil suddenly sees Yamdutas manifest in front of him, and out of great fear he cries out his son's name, Narayan, Narayan. And then out of the blue, these Vishnudutas manifest. And then a dialogue ensues between Yamadutas and the Vishnudutas. So here, when the Vishnudutas stop the Yamadutas, then they ask, why are you stopping us? And the Vishnudutas, they explain the reason why they are doing that. And they say, Veda pranahito dharma hi adharmascha viparyaya. Veda narana sakshat swayambhu iti shushruma. So Yamadutas are explaining that we have understood that as far as crime is concerned, anything which is opposed to the Vedic principles is crime. What the laws of God have been described, anything which opposes that law is known as crime. And so Ajamil has been performing activities which are abominable against the Vedic principles. So therefore, it is a crime. And so the second part which they explain is, who is a criminal? It is not that anyone and everyone in every body can be under the influence of these laws. Only those in the human form of life and those who are sinful are under the influence of Yamadutas. So if one is not in the human form of life and one is not breaking the principles, then the Yamadutas have no control over them. Then the third element they explain is the evidence. What is the evidence that the law of karma is functioning? What is the evidence of this karma? And they say, when each conditioned soul goes through happiness and distress. Happiness and distress. The experience of happiness and the experience of distress, both unrelated to our effort, that we may be aspiring for happiness, we plan for happiness, we feel everything is in place for our joy, and suddenly we experience distress. That is evidence that there is a law beyond our own plan making which is in place. Otherwise, how is it possible that I planned everything, but things are not happening as per that plan? So this is evidence that there is a law. Like I was going for a program in Mumbai, and I saw one big apartment building, and it was written there, Sukh Shanti Apartment under repair and maintenance. That is a story of the conditioned soul in the material world, that we are all aspiring and planning for Sukh and Shanti. But simply by our planning, if we can achieve it, then we would be in control. So that's the evidence it is described. So the fourth step in the law of karma is witness. So the question arises, who are the witnesses who are seeing us? Because one may see that nobody is witnessing the crime which we are performing. So then the Yamadutas explain that there are various witnesses who are observing all our activities. Surya, sun, Agni, fire, Marut, Kham is ether, Marut, air, Somo is चंद्रमा, हाँ, संध्या अहनी दिशा, द डे टाइम, द डेमीगॉड इन चार्ज ऑफ द डे टाइम, डेमीगॉड इन चार्ज ऑफ द इवनिंग टाइम, नाइट टाइम, ट्वाइलाइट, दे आर ऑल पर्सनैलिटीज हू आर कॉन्स्टेंटली ऑब्जर्विंग वॉट एवर एक्टिविटीज आर. सो समवन मे थिंक, ओ आई एम स्मोकिंग इन प्राइवेट, नोबडी कैन ऑब्जर्व, बट अग्नि हिमसेल्फ इज अ विटनेस, सो वेयर कैन यू एस्केप दैट. सो देयरफॉर द विटनेसेस आर डिस्क्राइब्ड लाइक दिस. एंड देन द यमदूतास एक्सप्लेन दैट वॉट इज द मोडस ऑपरेंडी, you know, how they actually perform all of these sins, and that is through the senses. When the senses come in contact with the sense objects, then these sins are committed. And then the sixth element is the judgment. Who gives the judgment? And then here the Yamaduta is saying that our Yamraj, he is in charge of judgment. And on behalf of Yamraj, we are the representatives who have come here to make sure that those who have committed the sin are given the punishment. Like that. So therefore, you know, typically, especially in India, Yamaraj is very famous, and people are, in general, are very much aware of Swarga, Naraka and everything. Right? And people do not understand that the kind of sinful activities they perform, that results in distress in this life, and it results in distress in the next. And so Uddhava is expressing to Krishna, tapatrayena bhitasya ghore santapya manasya bhavadvanisha pashyami nanya sharanam tavangri dvandvat patrat amrita bhivarshat. That, my dear Lord, I am experiencing the influence of the threefold miseries, and I do not see any other shelter apart from your lotus feet, which act like an umbrella, protects me from the shower of all kinds of sinful reactions from without, and it showers the nectar of divine service to your lotus feet from within. And therefore, pashyami na anyat sharanam tava angri, apart from your lotus feet, I do not see any other shelter. Jai Shri Radha Gokulananda Bhagavan ki. So therefore, the kind of sinful activities we perform, those sinful activities give the reaction of distress. And when we are performing that sinful activities, we may not be aware of how it's going to impact us. So when I'm, you know, giving discourses in Mumbai, or like in some of the villages, people are aware of Swarga and Naraka, you know. So I tell this story. One time a man was, you know, subjected to death. He died. Yamdutas caught him and said, okay, you have committed some sins, and you have also performed some pious activities. So due to your piety, you can go to Swarga or heavenly planets, but due to the papa, due to the sin, you will go to Naraka or hell. Where you want to go? Swarga or Naraka? So he says, sir, I don't know either. So can you reveal what is Swarga and what is Naraka? So then the Yamdutas give him a glimpse of what heavenly planet looks like. So nice, beautiful gardens, lakes, waterfalls, flowers, Nandan Kanan. So he looks at that and said, okay, this is how Swarg looks like. Okay, how does Narak look like? So gives them glimpse of the hellish planets. And suddenly he sees a scene where there is beer bar, dance club, McDonald's, all kinds of, you know, meat eating happening. And he looks at that and says, hey, this looks like Mumbai. I want to go there first. So they take him to Naraka or the hell, and as soon as he enters, he is immediately subjected to severe punishment. He is put in a cauldron of oil, boil, and his skin is, you know, ripped off, And he starts screaming and shouting, "Hey, I have been cheated. You showed me something, but there's something else happening." And then Yamraj comes in front and says, "Why are you screaming?" He said, "Hey, they showed me something. They showed me all this beautiful restaurant and this and that and everything, but now what they are doing?" Yamraj said, "What they showed you was an advertisement of hell. That was not hell, that was an advertisement of hell. That advertisement, if you follow through, this is where you will reach. This is hell." So if we can consider our life to be simply meant for enjoyment, that enjoyment will lead to hellish conditions. And that's what is described here. That punishment is given by the Yamdutas. And so the Yamdutas are responsible for subjecting all the conditioned souls to repeated birth and death. So therefore, after having described about all of this, the crime, the criminal, the evidence, the witness, the method, judgment, the punishment, finally, he comes to the solution. What is the solution? Is there a solution out of this? He says, "Esha prakriti sangena purushasya viparyaya asit sa evana chirat isha sangat vilyate." So the Yamdutas, they themselves are describing this. So the solution is being offered by the Yamdutas. And they are saying that in contact with prakriti, material nature, purushasya viparyaya, when the conditioned soul is turned away from Krishna, then he begins performing sinful activities. But then what is the solution? When the conditioned soul turned towards Krishna, the solution begins. Asit sa evana chirat isha sangat vilyate. When the soul becomes totally in tune with Krishna, then the solution begins. Transformation of his habits and desires begin. And that is known as Isha Sangha, association with Krishna. And that association with Krishna happens through various means, which includes chanting of the holy names, Bhagavatam, worshipping the deities, taking shelter of the holy dham, and serving the Vaishnavas. So in this way, the Yamdutas explain to the Vishnudutas, because Ajamil has engaged in sinful activities, looking away from the Lord, and he has not attained any Isha Sangha, therefore we have come to take him. And hence they say, Sapasha hastantin drishtvan purushat atidarunat vakratundat udvaromno. And those Yamdutas were determined to take Ajamil away. So therefore, the laws of karma are extremely powerful. And unless one transforms one's desires, one's heart, it's impossible for one to control one's senses. And so one of the topics of Srimad Bhagavatam is Nirodha. Nirodha means pralaya, annihilation. And what does annihilation mean? That even when the soul is in the sleeping state at the time of annihilation, even for all of that period, when the next creation has not happened, in that dormant state, the soul's activities are not manifest, but his material desires have not been destroyed. So pralaya or annihilation means material elements can be destroyed, the body can be destroyed, all kinds of created elements are destroyed. The time factor can destroy everything except one thing. That's what Gajendra says in the 8th canto. Jiji vishe naham iha moyakim antar bahircha vrate bhayonya pashyami kalena nayasya viplavo tasyatma loka varanasya moksham. The time factor is the greatest annihilator, and it can destroy everything and everyone except one thing. That is ignorance. Time cannot destroy ignorance. Time cannot destroy material desires which arise out of ignorance. And therefore, to destroy those desires, to destroy that ignorance, the only one factor which can be powerful is Sangha, Isha Sangha, association with Krishna, especially through transcendental sound vibration. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Narsingh Puran explains a story of an old person, very big, rich businessman, extremely old, and his sons called a sadhu and told the sadhu that, you know, our father is 85 years old, still is not giving up business. Constantly thinking about money, 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 business. You just take him to some holy place. Give him some association. Let him get connected, you know, with Krishna at some form, and then, you know, he may be get transformed. And you take whatever money you want, but make sure you keep traveling to the holy places and don't bring him back. So the sadhu took this old man, and then in 1 week, he sent a message to the sons that, you know, your father is really very powerful. If we spend some more time with him, I will start a business. He is constantly talking about, thinking about, meditating only about business. So the sons replied to him, try some more places. Don't give up so easily. And so finally this gentleman brought him to Varanasi. So in Varanasi, you know, it's very famous for Manikarnika Ghat and all the burning ghats, where it is described that if after that the dead bodies are, you know, subjected to the funeral there, get liberated. So he saw so many dead bodies burning in the ghat. And as soon as this old businessman saw that, he started crying tears. And the sadhu looked at it and felt success at last. So he turned to him and said, so now, do you realize how you have wasted your life? And the businessman said, I really understand that. I really feel so much remorseful that I wasted my life. He said, yes, at last I am successful. Fantastic, tell me your realization. And the old man said, I am just crying that I did entire life business of cloth. If I knew there is so much demand for wood, I would have done wood business. That was his remorse. That even till the time of death, we cannot expect that automatically the mind's desire will transform. It is not going to change automatically. And therefore Hiranyakashipu is described as sa ittham nirjita kakup ekaran vishayan priyan yathopajosham bhunjano natripyat ajitendriya. Hiranyakashipu had practically every sense object at his disposal, but he was extremely dissatisfied because the contact with the sense objects cannot give tripti, cannot give satisfaction. In our Bhaktivedanta hospital, in our operation theater, they had put the photo of Narsingadev ripping apart the stomach of Hiranyakashipu. So one patient, he was not a devotee, so this patient was just going to go through surgery. And before taking the anesthesia, he saw that photo, he got bewildered. You know that photo, that's right there. So he saw that photo and he asked the doctor, doctor, what is that photo? What is going on there? And his doctor was a devotee. And devotees don't miss chance for preaching. They're always looking for an opportunity. So the devotee said, sir, this is the first surgery in history. So he again looked at that and said, what was the result of that surgery? So doctor said, surgery was successful, patient was liberated. So Hiranyakashipu was given repeated warning, and finally Lord Narsingadev came and realized that the false ego is such an entity which cannot be killed in the day or the night. The false ego cannot be destroyed outside the house or inside the house. False ego cannot be destroyed by any weapon or by any species created by Brahma. So therefore, satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashitam vyaptim cha bhuteshu akhileshu chatmana. So this false ego is so powerful that no power in this creation can destroy it. Only when the devotee takes shelter of the Lord helplessly, only the Lord has the power to rip apart this false ego and reveal to us our real ego as Krishna's eternal servant. And thus, this expression of servitude we express through the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And when we actually express to the Lord that, my dear Lord, please engage me in your devotional service. I am your servant. Please engage me in your seva. That prayer is the beginning of our Krishna consciousness, where we are trying to change our mind's desires from being the enjoyer, being the controller, to actually trying to be a servant. And therefore we find that here Ajamil, he actually was totally in a helpless state, and the Yamdutas are convinced that what they are doing is perfect because he was sinful. And a person who has spent his entire life committing all kinds of sins, if we come and take him away, what's the problem? So they were convinced about that. But Vishnudutas, they come and stop him. And the reason why they are stopping the Yamadutas, they will explain in the future verses. So I think we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.